In your Bibles, in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9. I shall read beginning at verse 35 of Matthew, chapter 9. And while you're finding your place in our congregation today, we are happy to have Dr. Bill Stevenson. Dr. Bill, stand up over there. Here's a man that's meant a great deal to this church. Thank you, sir. And a great deal? Yes, sir. Come on up here, Bill. You bet. Come on up here.
And this is purely unrehearsed, I'll assure you, but the Barber family has meant more than you'll ever know to me and my family, and we've been in Atlanta, Georgia, the past 3 years. We've attended the largest Baptist church in Atlanta, which is the First Baptist Church, and the pastor there is Charles Stanley, Dr. Charles Stanley. When I started to that church, I found out that he also is from Danville, Virginia.
Went to school.
And I asked him if he knew Brother Raymond and Brother Bob, and he said, by all means, and I told him that this was the church that I came from, and he said, brother, if you've been under the ministry of those men, he said, you're solid as a rock. And I really appreciate that, and I think that you have one of the most wonderful pastors in the world, and I do hope that all of you support him the way that the Lord would have you to.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Neil, I've never mentioned this, and you'll forgive me, but I remember the days when things were kind of thin. Bill would come around with a little piece of money and say, Brother Raymond, here's a little bit to help you. See, I haven't always been as rich and prosperous as I am now. I've never told that, Bill, but I appreciate it. I haven't forgotten it. That's been a long time ago. And I praise God for Bill Stevenson. Now I want to say, before I read the text, a word or two about several other things. Our gymnatorium, out there in the lobby, there's a plastic container for you to put your offering. Dr. Roy Johnson, who's a member of our church, president of our fellowship, has challenged the churches all over the World Baptist Fellowship to give at least $2 per member. Man said to me yesterday, I want to give $2 for myself and $2 for some that can't and $2 for some that won't. But I believe that God will bless us if we support this. So we're asking every member to do that, $2 for the gymnatorium that we've already explained. May I emphasize the importance of this new ladies' visitation endeavor on Tuesday morning at 9:30. And I hope that you ladies will take advantage of the opportunity to do many things for Christ through this ministry. And then I speak of our summer encounter. We are praying for a mighty encounter during the summer. And then I speak, lastly, of my message tonight, the continuing series of messages in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, A Dream and a Dreamer, tonight at 7 o'clock, and I hope that you'll be in your place. Now, before we read Matthew chapter 9, we pause for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are grateful for thy blessings upon us, the privilege and opportunity that we have to serve thee. Bless now, we pray, the reading of the Scripture, the preaching of the Word, on this special Mission Sunday. May our hearts burn within us for the multiplied millions around the world who have never heard once the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to do our part to win them to Him. In His name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, I read beginning at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, and this is my text, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. We hear a lot in these days about unemployment. And I suppose there is a great deal of unemployment. But it's strange to me, for every man I see is looking for a good man to work. But the tragedy is, a lot of people don't want to work. After all, the government will take care of them. Why should they work? Now I lay me down to sleep, I know the government will keep me. I get up, I know the government will take care of me. Well, I am independent enough by the grace of God to take care of myself, to work and labor in whatever field God has put me to labor. In the spiritual realm, there is a great deal of unemployment. We have a lot of unemployed members. Unemployed Christians. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. My message this morning, help wanted. You see that sign everywhere you go almost. Help wanted. And sometimes it says down in small letters, no experience necessary. You do not have to be an experienced theologian to tell men about Jesus. Help wanted. I never cease to be disturbed by one amazing fact. In America, the land of the free, the land of plenty and prosperity and freedom and means of communication and means of travel and comfortable churches and plenty churches, I never cease to be amazed. I never cease to be disturbed by the fact that in America, preachers are begging for people, while all around the world, people are begging for preachers. I hear this morning the Macedonian call, come over and help us. I hear that call this morning from India, from China, from South America, Central America, Mexico, Germany, Austria, Poland, Hungary, Russia, the Netherlands, the islands of the sea. I hear a cry, come over and help us. I hear it on this street. I hear it on my street. I hear it on your street. Come over and help us. The Macedonian call. Help is wanted. I submit to you, first of all, that help is wanted because the harvest requires the proper instrument, the proper personnel, and the proper labor. Let us say that we have before us acre after acre, section after section of wheat. It's harvest time. The grain is ripe. Section after section. And I start out with a pair of pinking shears and try to reap that harvest. You would think I had lost my mind. And yet, I look about me and I see acre after acre. I see section after section, square mile after square mile of humanity. And you think we can reap it with 24 people on Tuesday night. That's foolish. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There are countless thousands who need Jesus. We cannot reap the great harvest with 12 or 24 or 36 people. I look you squarely in the eye this morning to say, fellow church member, it's going to take your help and your help and your help and your help and my help and our help together to reap the countless thousands who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Somewhere along the way, we have become so fascinated and so infatuated and so captivated by what's going on in the world about us that we've lost sight of our mission. Why are we here? What is our business in life? What is our mission? What is our purpose in life? I answer you by saying our business, our only business, is the evangelization of the world. And we must begin at home and go to the ends of the earth. Where is he who says to me, I have been before? I've knocked on that same door. I've talked with those same people. Well, I've got a story that might interest you. One time in about the year 30 AD, a group of men were out fishing on Lake Galilee. They fished all night long, and they caught nothing. So by morning they were tired and weary and they rolled up their nets, left their boats, and were headed back home, dejected, despondent, defeated, empty. But then Jesus came. Ah, what a difference it makes when Jesus comes. Then Jesus came and said to Peter, Peter, I want to use your boat. I want to tell you this morning, Jesus wants to use your boat. The boat of your life. Jesus turned that boat into a platform and he taught the multitudes. And Peter sat over there yawning. He'd been up all night. He wanted to go home. And when Jesus finally got through, 12:05, you see, we've got to start at 11 o'clock sharp and finish at 12 o'clock dull. To keep up with a modern trend. Jesus said to Peter, I want you to launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And Peter, out of the side of his mouth, said, "But wait a minute, Lord, you know who the fisherman is around here. Here's James, and here's John, and here's their father, and here I am. We've been fishing this lake all of our lives. We've fished all night and caught nothing." Jesus said, "Peter, who made that lake? Who made the fish? Launch out into the deep." Peter said, "But Lord, we've been all over it, and we've been back to the same place several times." "Nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the net." And I don't have to tell you the end of that story. You know it. They caught so many fish, their net did break. And you and I, when we are challenged and when we are commissioned to go out into the world to evangelize, to witness, to share, we say to ourselves, we've been before and we've been again and again and again. But we ought to say, "Nevertheless, at thy word we go." And you'll be surprised the fish that you'll catch. In Psalm 126 and verse 6 we read, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, weepeth." He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. There are two things involved in missions: going and giving. And that's it. A communist visited a Christian community in Scotland one time. He observed their ritual of reading the Bible, saying grace before meals, going to church, having their devotions, all of these things. And one evening, as they sat around talking, comparing communism with Christianity, the communist just blurted out, "You Christians have got it. If you only knew that you had it. And if you only knew how to tell it. We do have it. We've got the truth of God if we only knew it. And if we only knew how to tell it out." I say this morning that help is wanted, because the harvest demands the proper instrument, the proper personnel, and the proper labor. Secondly, I say this morning, and I cry it from the deep of my heart, help is wanted because the harvest is plenteous. Did you know that you can take one grain of corn, put that grain of corn in the ground, and all things being equal, that grain of corn will come up and produce a stalk. And on the average stalk, there are 3 ears. Rosin ears, you know what I'm talking about. 3 ears of corn. And on each ear, there is an average of 16 rows of kernels. And on each row, there's an average of 41 kernels. Now, a little simple arithmetic will tell you that that one grain of corn has the possibility and the potential of producing 1,500 grains of corn. The harvest is plenteous. A grain here, a grain there. A great harvest for Christ. Well, did you know that our population increases 2 every second? 2.2 every second. That's 190,000 a day. That's 1 1/3 million a week. World population. That's 72 million a year all over the world. The harvest is plenteous. Did you know that in our own metropolitan area there are over 700,000 people? a very small percentage of them are in anybody's church this morning. The harvest is plenteous. The latest statistics tell us that of the population of the United States, only 60% ever attend church. Of that 60%, only 20% are active and regular. Do you know what that means? That means that 4 out of every 5 people in the United States do not think the church is necessary. The harvest is plenteous. Did you know that 1/2 of the world's population neither reads nor writes? Did you know that 98% of the world's population is unevangelized? In the United States of America, there is one preacher for every 1,100 people. In India, there is one preacher for every 100,000 people. There are more preachers in Los Angeles County than there are in Japan. And you remember Tokyo is the biggest city in the world, pushing 12 million right now. More in Los Angeles than in all of Japan. You've got a dollar in your pocket? A dollar in the plate? One in the plate's worth 2 in the pocket. But did you know that out of that dollar, listen to me, on the average across America, out of that dollar, 96 cents is spent for self and 4 cents for missions. Our church is not average. We've got it beat by 31%. Help is wanted. Because the harvest is plenteous. And then I say to you from my heart this morning that help is wanted because the harvest is ready. You remember what Jesus said to his disciples? Say ye not that 4 months and then cometh the harvest? I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Sunday school superintendent, don't say 4 months comes promotion day and then I'll get a new department. Sunday school teacher, don't say 4 months and promotion day and I'll get a new class. Lift up your eyes. Look about your community. The fields are white already to harvest. Don't wait till fall, till promotion day. Look now. I'm for what some people call foreign missions. I do not distinguish between foreign and home missions. But let me ask you a question. What will it profit us if we go all around the world and lose our own neighbors and our own friends and our own family? What will it profit us if we go to the ends of the earth and lose those next door? Across the street and down the way. The greatest tragedy on record in history happened in the year 1887 in China. The Red River overflowed its banks in that year and covered 50,000 square miles. 7 million people lost their lives and 2 million were left home. What a tragedy. But I know a tragedy that's far greater. every time you breathe, four people go out into eternity who have never heard the name of Christ. The river of sin has overflowed its banks and multiplied. Millions around the world are swept into hell. Without hope, without Christ, without God, without eternal salvation. Help wanted. Help wanted. We need your help to evangelize this community and this city and this state and this nation and the world. But it must begin at home. Help is wanted right here, down in this Sunday school, in the toddlers, in the kindergarten, in the primary. We need teachers. Help wanted. Help is wanted because the harvest cannot wait. Not only is it plenteous and not only is it ready, but it can't wait. Harvest can't wait. Ask any farmer. The most important time of the year is harvest time. He knows the exact date when he needs to get out and get the ripe grain out of the field. For once the grain is ripe, it must be harvested. Once the door of the gospel is open, it must be gone through ere it is closed again. And once a heart has been instructed in the truth of God's word, and the seed of the Bible has been planted in their heart, I say to you, it must be reaped before the devil comes and chokes it out. Help is wanted because the harvest cannot wait. The very last business meeting that Jesus had with his disciples, what do you suppose they talked about? Some kind of strategy for getting more people in Sunday school? How they were going to build their buildings? How they were going to erect their edifices? No. Jesus gave them some marching orders. Go ye into all the world. That was the last meeting he had with them. That says to me, it's number one, it has the priority over all other things. Help is wanted because the harvest cannot wait. There are millions dying that cannot wait. We must get them the word of God. A woman came to a noted preacher in our country and she said, "Preacher, when I was a young girl, God called me to the mission field and I didn't go. Tell me, preacher, what can I do?" And this was his answer: "Go home and cry the rest of your life." If God has spoken to you, you best answer the call. I heard about a man who witnessed to a woman in her home. And after he left, she was so disturbed. She was so upset. When her husband came home, he noted immediately that she was upset. She was disturbed. She was bothered. He said to her, "But honey, what on earth is the matter? What's happened?" And she said, "Honey, there was a man here today, and he witnessed to me, and he read the word of God to me, and he prayed for me." And the husband said, "Well, why didn't you tell him to mind his business?" And she said, "Honey, if you had seen the look in his eye, if you had heard the pathos in his voice, if you could have detected the urgency in his message, you would have said he was minding his business." Help is wanted because the harvest cannot wait. There is an urgency.
If the house is on fire, it's no time to study the history of the firefighting equipment. It's time to pour on the water. If the grain is burning up in the field, it's no time to study the history of the farm machinery. It's time to crank up the thresher. When souls are dying without Christ, right next door, across the street, down the way, across the ocean, when souls are dying, I say unto you this morning, it is no time to study the methods of soul winning. It is time to win men to Christ. It's time to put in the sickle. Help is wanted because the harvest cannot wait. Help is wanted this morning because the harvest cannot reap itself. Harvest cannot reap itself. The farmer knows when it's harvest time. So what does he do? Sit around on the shade tree and hope for a miracle? He best thrust in the sickle, or else he'll lose his crop. 1972, April 1972, April 16th, 1972, is harvest time. You and I cannot sit around and hope and pray for a miracle. We must thrust in the gospel sickle, or else we're going to lose our crop. And Jesus said, what shall it be profited a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Help is wanted. The harvest cannot reap itself. The Ethiopian said to Philip, how can I understand unless someone shows me? And there are Ethiopians all over this city and all over this state and all over this world who are saying, I don't understand. How can I? Unless a member of Worth Baptist Church shows me. The harvest cannot reap itself. Would you listen to the words of this little poem as an appendix to my message this morning? I read it this morning early and I wept. I wept uncontrollably as I read it. I want you to listen to it. 140,000 souls a day are passing one by one away. In Christless guilt and gloom, without one ray of hope or light, with future dark as endless night, they're passing to their doom. They're passing to their doom. The Master's coming draweth near. The Son of Man will soon appear. His kingdom is at hand. But ere that glorious day can be, the gospel of the kingdom we must preach in every land. We must preach in every land. Oh, let us then his coming haste. Oh, let us end this awful waste of souls that never die. 1,000,000,000 still are lost. A Savior has paid the cost. Oh, hear their dying cry. Oh, hear their dying cry. They're passing fast away, 140,000 souls a day in Christless guilt and gloom. O Church of Christ, what wilt thou say when in that awful judgment day they charge you
with their doom. They charge you with their doom. Help wanted. The harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. The harvest cannot wait. The harvest cannot reap itself. Help wanted. Now, you, shall we stand for our prayer. While your heads are bowed, I want to repeat that last little verse of that poem. You listen prayerfully, will you? They are passing fast away, 140,000 souls a day, in Christless guilt and gloom. O Church of Christ, what wilt thou say when they charge thee with their doom? When they charge thee with their doom. A 140,000 souls a day. Maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, "Preacher, I've never been saved. I'm lost. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. But I feel something this morning. I feel as though I want to be saved. I want to anchor my faith. I want to trust Christ as my Savior." I invite you to come this morning and kneel at this altar. And from the Word of God, we will show you how you can be saved. You've put it off too long already, mister. Only the mercy of God has spared you this long. You're out there this morning and you would say, "I'm not a member of this church, but I'm concerned about my church membership. I want to do God's will. I want God's will to be done in my life and for my home and for my family as far as my church membership is concerned." If you feel that God leads you to this church by baptism, by letter from another Baptist church, or on your statement, I want you to come. You're out there this morning. You'd say, "Pastor, God is speaking to me about giving, devoting, dedicating, surrendering my life completely for His service." Maybe God is calling you to the mission field somewhere. I don't know. I want you to come. You're out there this morning and you'd say, "Pastor, I want to be a missionary right here at home." You've given an urgent plea, "Help wanted. Pastor, I want to help. I want to turn it around. I want to help." I'll meet you at the front while we sing the first stanza, "Who'll Be First to Come," this morning.